Hello? Can you hear me? Well, hello. You're still awake. Good. It's hard to have a session right after lunch. Everybody's calming down and relaxed. So my goal in this session is kind of get you lifted up and excited. We have a lot of good things to cover. My name is Tarek. I'll be your host for this session, probably for about an hour and a little bit. We're going to talk about Visual Studio, which is my favorite product. So I'll tell you a little bit about myself and what I do. Tarek Madkur, I'm the group program manager for the Visual Studio IDE team, which is the little team that's responsible for everything that is common to all the languages in Visual Studio. So think about editing and building and all the things that, you know, work for C++ or C# or Visual Basic or JavaScript or any other language that Visual Studio support. That's what my team works on. I've been working on Visual Studio for the past about 14 years now. Worked on lots of different things. I actually started on the IDE working on C# IntelliSense, and that was the first thing back in 2001 when we were first creating C#, and then did a lot of different things, worked on libraries, compilers, runtimes, code generation, back to IDE, and now I own the really cool team that does the super cool stuff that makes you very productive. Okay, so my passion is about developer productivity. I work for developers. I am a tool maker by trade and by passion and by everything. I just love creating tools. So I hope that over the next hour, we're going to spend some time and show you how to make best use of Visual Studio. I'm assuming everybody here is a Visual Studio user, right? Okay, good. You're in the right place. I'm in the right place, at least. Second thing is, I'm going to actually not just cover the latest Visual Studio. I know some of you use Visual Studio 2013, but some of you use 2012 or 10 or 8 or 5 or whatever before that, hopefully not. we'll find you. But I'll actually be covering features in Visual Studio that kind of cover the whole spectrum of what we shipped, or at least what I worked on from the day I start. Accumulated a lot of cool things that, you know, through our telemetry. So we get some telemetry if you sign into the customer improvement program in Visual Studio. We get some data. It doesn't tell us who you are or anything, but it actually tells us, you know, 50% of our users debug from using a mouse and 50% debug by using the F10 key and like things like that. So we learn a little bit about the habits of how people do things, so we try to improve them. So we try to see which things we think are really cool but people are not using. And that's really my inspiration for how, you know, having a session like this is kind of show you some of the really cool things in Visual Studio. So I'll start with my top 10, things that I've learned over the 14 years that I think are the coolest things in Visual Studio. My goal is for you to walk out with 10 new things to learn about Visual Studio. I don't think my top 10 is all going to be new to you, but I'm going to use the top 10 as an excuse to talk about different areas of the product. So I have something about customizing IDE, some things about editing, some things about navigation. And, you know, while I'm giving you one of the tips in one area, I'll kind of try to cover some of the lesser known parts of that area too. So some of it you'll know, some of it will be new to you. I hope that at least you can walk away with 10 new things, right? Just out of curiosity, since I'm going to cover, you know, the various versions of Visual Studio, who is using Visual Studio 2013? Wow, that's like 3/4 of the room. You guys are awesome. 2012? Quarter, okay. 2010? About the same people? That's great. 2008? Okay, maybe like 10. 2000, VB6. Oh no. VB6? A couple people are using VB6. We should talk after that. I would love to learn what you guys are doing. 2005. A couple of hands. Earlier. Excluding VB6. All right. Well, that's good. That's a good mix. A lot of people actually towards the later versions of Visual Studio, which is cool because kind of half of my tips are going to be applicable only to like 2010, 2012, 2013. And the other half is kind of applicable to everything else. So let's get started. First of all, actually, I hate slides. So I kind of work on Visual Studio. I love Visual Studio. I spend my day in, day out in Visual Studio. So that's what I'll do in this session. I'll just fire up Visual Studio, and we'll get going, and we'll just spend an hour. The session is not designed to take an hour and 15 minutes. No, my goal is to actually leave you time for interaction. I love the interactivity. One of the reasons I come to conferences like this is to hear your feedback and get your questions, because that teaches me about what areas of product you use and what areas you don't, so I can focus on the areas you use, right? So ask questions in the middle of the talk. Just raise your hand. I think the room is not huge, so I should be able to see everybody. Raise your hand if I don't answer you, kind of like wave or do something. Don't throw stuff. Then you can ask. If you feel like it, there's also a mic here that you can come and ask questions. So just feel free to interrupt me all throughout and ask your questions. So I'll spend the whole time in Visual Studio. There are actually 10 slides with the 10 tips written on them. And the only reason I have those slides is to give me a chance to take a drink of water in the middle. And also give you a chance to kind of ask a question, because if I'm looking at my laptop the whole time, it'll be hard for me to see you, and I'd like to see you guys. You guys are awesome. All right, with that, let's get started with tip number one. So tip number one is applicable to 2012 and above, and the only reason I have it as number one is not because it's the coolest thing ever, even though it's actually really cool, but it's because it's so foundational. I'm going to use it throughout my whole demo. That's how much I actually use this feature, that you have to at least know what it does before I can continue with the rest of the demo. So this is the quick launch feature of Visual Studio 2012 and 2013. Let me see if I can move back to the Visual Studio correctly here. Here it is. This is my Visual Studio, and you'll notice up on the top right-hand corner, there's a quick launch, which if you are like me, I'm a keyboard junkie. I just spend all my time using the keyboard. Mouse is a distraction for me. I'd like to take it away if I could. Sometimes I need it. But a lot of my tips are also going to be oriented about how you can do things with the keyboard so you don't have to kind of take your hands off and put the Mac on. I'm curious how many people are keyboard junkies like me. Quarter of the room. How many people are faster than me using a mouse and me using a keyboard? So one person raised their hand. I'm going to challenge you after that. All right. Okay. So here's Visual Studio. Let me get the right mouse first. There you go. So this is Quick Launch. And the idea for Quick Launch is, how many people use Quick Launch already? Oh, a few. Okay. No, got it. More of you got to use Visual Studio 2012 and 2013's Quick Launch, because most of you have 2012 and 2013. So Quick Launch is basically the fastest way to find something in the IDE. Now, the Visual Studio has a lot of different commands, a lot of different menus. Most confusing thing for me is where we put the window options, for example. All the windows are under the Edit menu, except for the Debug windows. They are actually under Debug windows. I have no idea why. It was like that. And we tried to change it once in one preview, and people just complained, like, where did my Debug windows go? And we didn't feel like putting them in two places, so we just left it like that forever. So I don't like these, hunting around for things. So what I like to do is just whatever it is that I'm looking for, I'd like Control Q and then type its name. So let's say I wanted the breakpoints window, I could just type break. And there you go. It has my most recently used stuff, it has things in options or anything like that, right? Obviously there is no breakpoints window here now because I have not loaded the project yet. So it's not going to show. It only really shows the commands that are available to me, right? Which is, at this point, the breakpoint options, which if you actually wanted to go to that in tools options, you kind of got to open tools options and find things and all of that. This kind of takes you exactly to the page where it is, which is just fantastic, right? The other thing that Quick Launch does is it actually looks everywhere. So let's say you wanted the... to know where to build something. See, it's going to look at menus. It's going to look at the options. It looks at the most recently used stuff. It has a lot of different things to look for. So if you actually want to narrow your scope and not search in everything, you can use the at prefix. So you can say at, and then it actually gives you hints on the different things you can scope to, either menus or options or the open documents or NuGet packages that you have, and you can say at opt, and then type breakpoint, right? And then that only limits it to the options, or you can limit it only to the most recently used things that you only frequently use, and then you don't want results from anything else. You do at MRU, and that's pretty much what I do most of the time, because sometimes there are a lot more hits than I want. Just at MRU space whatever I want, enter, I'm done. Okay. I actually don't even need for the completion list to continue. So I could just type break enter, and it'll take me there. I don't have to wait for the list. So it's really the fastest way to get around any window or anything in the IDE. Control Q, type the thing, enter, you're done. Right? So that is my first tip of the day. A lot of you are not using it, so you should really try to use it. It's just such a handy way of moving around the product. So that's my first tip for today. We've gone back to the beginning. Hopefully we're not going to do that with every tip. My second tip is going to be about customizing the keyboard shortcuts. And I like this for two reasons. Number one, as I told you, I'm just a keyboard person. I like to spend time on the keyboard. So this actually allows me to customize how every key behaves in Visual Studio. It also allows me to assign keys to things that don't have key shortcuts already assigned to them. So I kind of make my own Visual Studio for me. And based on how much time I actually spend in Visual Studio, it is a worthwhile exercise for me. But that's not the only reason I like Visual Studio, because many of you are actually not even keyboard junkies like me. But the most reason I like this one is actually this is the source of half of my tips. I find my tips from this place. It has a list of all the different commands in Visual Studio. And it's a searchable list. So you kind of experiment with things. I type like IntelliSense something, and then it gives you all the things that are around IntelliSense. You type debug, and it lists all the things that are around debug. And then you go like single step through them one by one and see what keyboard shortcut is assigned to it and play with it. This is an exercise you can do for an hour one day and just sit around. You're going to learn a whole lot about Visual Studio this way. So half of my tips I find out from this dialogue. Long ago, I used to write a little application that would kind of query the hwend for that little combo box that has the thing and list everything, and I would compare it to what I had before and see what new features were introduced in Visual Studio, because everything comes with a command and every command is shown in the keyboard shortcuts menu. So I love that part of Visual Studio. So let me show you which dialog I'm talking about. It's somewhere in Tools Options. Obviously, the best way to find it is Quick Find. I'm just type keyboard. Enter. So that takes... You can't see it. Somebody warned me. Let's go back to Visual Studio. So I'm here. Quick launch. I'm going to do keyboard and hit enter. It takes me somewhere obscure in Tools Options, but this is the dialog you want to see. Okay? And you can create your own keyboard shortcut schemes. Two people here are in Visual Basic 6. Look at this jam. You could go back to VB6 key bindings if you wanted to. Not that I condone that, but you could do that if you wanted to. The coolest thing here is, here's the list of commands I was telling you about. All the commands available in Visual Studio. You want to see the debugging commands or stepping commands? Okay, let's see how much we know about stepping. Look at all these interesting debug.step commands. There's just not F10 and F11 that step into and step over. There's a whole lot of things that you can actually do with stepping. And half of them are bound to very interesting shortcut keys, right? One of my favorite commands is one that copies the full path of the current open file in the editor and puts it in the clipboard. And I do that because I kind of switch to command prompt and type a bunch of things, and I just want to find the file or the directory. So this command is actually not bound to anything. So it's very easy to find because I can do this. I think it's copy full path. There you go. File.copy full path. And I can go there. I can press a shortcut key. I'm going to choose Control-Alt-Shift-P. Okay? And Control-Alt-Shift-C, how about that? That one is used. It tells you that it's used down there below. It says, shortcut is currently used by the paste parameter tip command. If you actually try in Visual Studio to hover over something and get parameter tip, Control-Shift-P will actually copy it. And then you can do whatever you want with it. And now I know that. I didn't know that. But I'm going to do, Siri, another key. Okay? Control-Alt-C. Which you will see is showing the debugger call stack, but I could reuse that and assign it to something else, right? So that basically becomes your kind of way of assigning things. There are multiple ways of doing this too, which is, let's say if you looked at the F7 key, this is the key that toggles between design and code view, right? So here it says view.toggleDesigner in the global scope. You see F7 global, so it's a global scope. Anywhere you are in Visual Studio, you hit F7, it's going to go to the designer view. Except for, if you go under this, and you see that if you are in the settings designer, then it's going to view code, right? So that's the way you use the same key for doing two different things. Everywhere it does something, except in that specific context that you want to do something else, and you can assign that, which is really cool. So now you can actually get double use of your keys to make them do two things. So one of my favorite places in Visual Studio, and how I learn about a lot of the commands that I use. Also, one of the really cool things that we added, and I can't remember if we did that in 2012 or 2010, is this tools options dialog used to be this big, right? And there was no way for you to resize it. And me hunting through this list of commands was really hard, and half of the other pages were very hard to access. So now it's actually resizable, and it saves the setting. So I kind of do that and leave it this way forever, which is awesome. All right, so while we're talking about customizing the IDE for my use, a couple of things about customizing the IDE. First of all, notice the all caps menus up there? Who likes them? One person likes them. There you go. I'll give you a prize after the... who wants to disable them? A few people. Some people don't care, right? So with Visual Studio 2013, and actually one of the latest updates of Visual Studio 2012, you can customize that. So if you go to the quick find and do caps, there you're going to see turn off uppercase in the menu bar. And now your menus behave normal again. And it's just the setting and the ID, and the world is good. So I like it this way, and I just keep it this way for me. It works out. The next thing that I like to customize is actually kind of the start page. So when you start the IDE, you get the start page up front. And typically, just the mode of work that I have, I use one project and I keep using it for a while. And then, you know, after a few days or maybe a month sometimes, I kind of start using something else. And it's very rarely that I open the IDE and use other projects. So there's a mode in the IDE for that, and kind of saves you a click or hunting down in the recent projects menu to find it. So the way to do that is, start something, start, and here you go, environment startup, and you can choose whether you want to show the start page of startup, which is the default, or you can choose to load the last loaded solution, which is typically how I have it set. I know some other people who like to do it as the show open project dialog, although I really don't like that because it's a lot faster for me to go to the recent projects than hunt around things in the open project dialog. So you kind of set the options that you want this way. I also like to change the theme of Visual Studio. So here's theme. You'll notice that I just keep getting out of the dialog and into the dialog again because I really don't know how to find things in the dialog. It's just a lot easier for me to search. This is the light color theme. We also brought back the blue color theme for those of you who liked the classic blue look of Visual Studio. So you kind of tweak the theme that you want. There's even an extension called the theme editor. So I actually have that extension installed. And with that extension, you get something that looks like this. Customize colors in the tools menu. And then you have a lot more themes to choose from than just the three that come with Visual Studio. We have light, we have dark, and we have blue. And our telemetry says most people use blue. I'm also thinking that's probably because it's the default. but there are a lot more colors to choose from here. And not only that, there is a way to customize your own colors. You basically either import the theme or clone a different theme. And basically go item by item. You know, the title bar, when it is active, I wanted this background and this foreground. And there is even a website dedicated to themes that you can download. And you can go to, I think it's Studio Styles. So you go to Studio Styles with an ES at the end, which is really cool because I think ES is Spain. right? So we're in the right place. Studio styles, and you're just going to get the lots of themes. If you really want to skin and customize your ID and look different from everybody else around your office, this is one way of doing it. I bet you very few people are going to have the hot pink, you know, Visual Studio ID, but you can have it. All right, so that's it for the things that I can customize. But one of the things I also really love is that I can save these settings and keep them saved forever so that wherever I go, I could reuse them. So I can go to Tools, and under Tools, there is Import-Export settings, right? And then there, I can actually choose which settings I want to import and which settings I want to, or which settings I want to export. And I can pick the, you know, I want the window layouts and I want the colors and I want this. Every setting in Visual Studio is savable. And you kind of put that in your Dropbox or your, you know, OneDrive or whatever it is that you want to share and load it everywhere else. One thing even better than that, which I really like to do, is actually I just sign into Visual Studio and it does that automatically for me. So if I sign into Visual Studio here, and I think that's available starting Visual Studio 2013 now. I can sign in here. And when I sign in, it kind of brings in my own theme, brings in my own menus, all that stuff. You'll see it goes back to the light theme, which is actually my preferred theme. And it kind of remembers me wherever I go. So wherever I go, I just sign into Visual Studio. And I'm actually comfortable signing into Visual Studio, number one, because you know, I work for Microsoft. They know everything about me anyway, so it doesn't matter. But no, seriously, I work on the team that kind of works on the back end of that stuff, and I know how we use that data, and it's pretty anonymous. So I'm very comfortable giving my data to that service. It's very nice that I actually even use it on when I go to other people's desktops and they kind of show me something and I find it a bit cumbersome to use. I can sign them out, sign myself in, and then when I'm done, they sign in, and then I got my settings, and they're getting back their settings. Zero loss. Like, it's just very, very nice that way. And it's a very convenient way to have the same settings for Visual Studio on your home machine, on your work machine, or other thing, on your laptop, everything, right? So that's it for customizing Visual Studio. Let's go back to the deck. Give me a chance for a sip of water. I wonder if it's going to go back to the beginning, or to the middle, or to the end of the deck. So I pressed the wrong button. That didn't help. There you go. We're in the right spot. Kind of. Almost. my third tip around Visual Studio is one that arises from what I call my 3 o'clock moment. You know, I'm at 3 o'clock. I have a lot of windows open by the time I'm in Visual Studio, and I've been debugging stuff, I've been going to definition, opening things, and it's just like a lot of windows are open. So this is the one about closing windows. And you know, everybody knows windows in general, close a window is Control F4. So you could do Control F4 and you're happy. Except that Control F4 doesn't close all windows in Visual Studio. Some windows are stubborn, they don't get closed by Control F4. For good reason that I can explain later. But specifically, the tool windows. Any tool window that you open, like you know, do find results or something like that, and you can't close that window with a keyboard using Control F4. If you hit Control F4, it closes your document window. So Shift Escape. Such a beautiful keyboard shortcut. You just hit Shift Escape, and then it closes that window. Let me show you why I think this is actually worth mentioning at all. So I will load a project that I have here, which is going to complain that I'm not under source code control, which is okay. Thank you very much. So if I'm here, and let's say I want to look for something, one of the all my tests are running, it's great to know. I'm going to right-click here, and I'm going to find all references, right? If I find all references, it gives me the list of where the symbol is being used, right? And I typically go down, 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 up, up, and I find the thing that I want. And then when I'm done with it, most people just press Enter, right? But notice that if you press Enter, this window is going to stay there forever. And now it takes away from your editor screen, which to me is very valuable real estate. So what I do is instead of pressing Enter, I just hit Shift-Escape. And that, you'll see, has actually opened the document for me, kept the document in focus, but also closed the window, which really achieved my want. So a lot of the time, instead of just hitting Enter on something when I'm in a list, I hit Shift-Escape, close that window, and now I'm back in the editor, full screen, and I'm doing what I do best, which is write code. Another thing that I really like around this is you'll see the tab on the right there has kind of a bit of a different color, and also has a little icon right next to it. One of the cool things that we introduced in the last couple releases in Visual Studio is the preview window. And that preview window is basically a window that allows you to see the results of an action before they happen without actually opening that window. So imagine, for example, you are stepping into code, right? How many people, like, you know, as they step into code, by the time they're done with a debugging session, they have 30 windows open that they probably don't want to open again, right? A lot of people, good. So the preview window, completely don't have to, you know, do something special to get it working. Every time you F10 into something, opens a new file, it just opens it in that preview window. And just keeps reusing that preview window. When you're done, escape, and all your windows are closed now. If you happen to stumble upon a window that you actually like, that you want to keep, you can keep it. And that's this little button here. Obviously, I don't even like buttons, so keyboard shortcuts is Control-Alt-Home. So you press Control-Alt-Home, and now all of a sudden, this little puppy here, Control-Alt-Home, move to the left, and now it's a regular editor window. So I just step, or I do go to definitions, or anything that I want. All the editor windows are transient, they go away, except for the ones I like. I hit my favorite key, and it becomes a real window to use. So very, very handy. I like to use it all the time. Yes, sir. It's an awesome question. The gentleman was asking, it is very easy to get to the file from Solution Explorer if you have Solution Explorer window open. But if you wanted, you have a window open and you want to go to Solution Explorer, how do you do that? You can. There are two ways of doing it, the ugly way and the good way, okay? Ugly and good really depends on what kind of person you are. So, to me, the ugly way is you go up here and you go to Tools Options, and I think it's oh, there you go. See that thing that says Track Item in Solution Explorer, right? If you check it, then every time you go to a file, it's going to highlight it in Solution Explorer, right? Which is sweet and really nice, except that when you are stepping, there is a party on the right side. And the stuff is moving around all the time. So that really confuses me. So what I do instead, and I see another hand there, I'll come to you. What I do instead is what I think is the really awesome way of doing it, which is I turn that option off, first of all. And I think by default, and I can't remember if by default is on or off. I've been saving my settings for a long time that I can no longer remember what is default and what's not. I just remember what's my default. So I do this, and here's the awesome thing, okay? There's a shortcut key that you can press, which is, I think, Control, open bracket, S. And that takes you to that specific file in Solution Explorer. So let's try it. You know, I'm going to go to the, we are an Earthquake service proxy. I'm going to open a main page view model.cs, right? And Control, left bracket, S, right? And then you go there, which is awesome and fantastic, and that's how I do it every single time. I just kind of go directly to the file that I want in Visual Studio in Solution Explorer without seeing the party on the side when I'm debugging, because I want my focus in debugging. Yes, sir? I'm going to have to come closer to you.
Docking panel with the Solution Explorer, all the hidden to save real estate. what happened is if file is down there, you every single time have to scroll through entirety tree to find the file selected there. So it never jumps up on the tree.
Oh, if it is auto-hidden?
Yep.
So you're saying this feature does not work if it's auto-hidden?
It is working. It's a tracking file. It selects the file, but the file is down there in the tree. It will always show the top of the tree, and you have to scroll all the way down.
Ah, okay. Well, thanks for the feedback. That's good. So basically, what he was saying there was, if you auto-hide Solution Explorer, and then you turn on the track files in Solution Explorer, the way that it does the tracking is that it kind of keeps scrolling Solution Explorer in a funny way that makes it, you know, you have to kind of scroll down again to see things, which is not cool. I didn't even know that because I mainly just turn off that option. But it's good to know. I'll take it back. Thanks for the feedback. All right. Any other questions before I move on? Yes. You're going to have to raise your voice. Beautiful. Okay, so the question was, in older versions of Visual Studio, I could type OF, type the file name, and it opens it. So I'll tell you first about that tip, because thank you for sharing that tip. That's an awesome tip for everybody using versions of Visual Studio, I think 2010 and before, which is there is a, you can't see it here, on the toolbar, you're going to find a place where you can actually type something. It's the only place in the toolbar where you can type something. It's like a little edit box with a little combo box and drop-down combo. And in there, you can type all kinds of crazy things. It's meant to be a find, but you could also do the greater than, I think, was the thing. If you type greater than, and then you can type any Visual Studio command. Any of the commands that you see in the keyboard dialog that I showed you earlier, can type any of them in that thing, and it will execute it and run it directly. We even had shortcuts for some of them. So instead of file.open, we did OF. And then you could type greater than OF space and type the name of the file, and it will open it for you. How do you do that here? There's a much better way of doing that here, but I'm just going to ask you to wait 10 minutes, and I'm going to come to that. All right. But we have a much better way of doing it in Visual Studio now. All right. So we talked about just the preview tab and how you can close these windows. There's actually very interesting the promoting the window from the preview tab. I actually like to promote some windows because as I work, I actually do open a number of windows and I end up needing to work with, you know, I don't know, 15 or 20 windows. But there are always, you know, these two or three files that I kind of keep coming to all the time. And for those, I like to pin them, right? So you can actually go here in Visual Studio and on the editor for this solution, actually, I think this is kind of one of the most critical files. So I pin that with this button right here. And there's a keyboard shortcut for this. I actually don't know the keyboard shortcut because I don't do it very often. I just pin it once and I'm done. But you can always find that keyboard shortcut by going to the keyboard menu and typing pin and seeing what the keyboard shortcut is. So that's one quick way of learning shortcuts, right? So I just pin it, and I pin the couple of files that I do. And now every time I'm opening files or closing files or anything, this one stays on the top leftmost. I can always go to it quickly. Also, when I do the control tab switch between files, it kind of moves it to a more favorable position for me to be able to find it quickly, right? So it's a very nice, handy little feature that kind of keeps the editor windows that I use most closer to me. I also like working with a lot of documents, and back home I don't have a tiny screen like that. I actually have a very big, you know, nice dual mons for me to use. So I try to make use of my dual monitors, and I try to make use of my widescreen. And the funny thing is, I don't know how many of you have this, like, you know, empty space syndrome that I have on my monitor, but all my code pretty much fits in the left side of the monitor, especially if you have like really big monitors or high resolution monitors. All the code fits on the left side of the monitor. Then you have like Solution Explorer somewhere on the right side of the monitor, and there's a big empty white space in the middle that, you know, half the time you just don't know what to do with. And I mean, you can just kind of zoom in the code, but then like everybody else can see the code that you're writing, and it's embarrassing. So you know, what do you do with it? So one of the things I like to do with it is actually side-by-side editor windows. So I keep holding the wrong mouse, by the way, all the time. I drag one of the files this way, and I hover, and I put it. See, these? I love these solution guides. It's one of the most awesome features that we have. And it tells you where things are going to go. And then I create basically what we call a new document well, right? So you create a bunch of these, and then you can actually move documents. So again, it's a nice way of grouping them too, right? But what is even cooler is that in addition to having them this way, for the multiple monitor, I actually take these, drag them outside of Visual Studio completely, right? And then I just move them to other monitors. And you can actually kind of group them together, right? So I can get this gentleman here, put it together. And I have a couple of editor windows that I just take to the next monitor. And this behaves like a typical Windows window. So I use the window key and then left and right to move windows around. You know, you can do this, right? Alt-right moves it to the right, alt-left moves it to the left, alt-up maximizes it, right? You can do that. It's the window key and then the arrow keys and moves it around. If you have multiple monitors, double-right will move it to the next monitor. And then it just like create these windows, right-right, and they're on the right place. And not only editor windows, you can actually move some of the actual tool windows. So for me, in my debug session, what I normally have is my call stack, my autos window, and my locals window, and some of the watches. I drag them outside of Visual Studio and I put them on the second monitor, and it saves them that way, and I actually get a lot more screen real estate. So I just try to make use of the white space that I have in big monitors, and a lot of us are using dual monitors at this point in time, so it's actually very helpful. Another thing I wanted to show you is this little window here. Right, which is just a way of kind of finding the list of the documents in the document well that you currently have open. So if you have things organized by different wells, each one you click can kind of show you the list of documents that you have here. If you have already opened, you know, 10 or 12, and you want to see, and they don't all fit on your screen, you just click this little button there and do it. There's even a shortcut key for it, which is Control Alt Down. Except that on my video driver for this laptop, Control Alt Down, I'll show you what Control Alt Down does. It does this, which is not very helpful. So I'm not going to do that. But you can bring it up with that and kind of, you know, Control Alt Down and type M for the first letter of the file, enter, and it opens it very quickly. But I rarely do that now because there's an even better feature coming up later that I'll tell you about that helped me open files a lot faster, which is what the gentleman over there asked about. All right. One of the little known things about Visual Studio I forgot to tell you about is there are, you know, when you customize your windows, there are four distinct modes for Visual Studio, and they all have their own window layouts that Visual Studio saves for you. One of them is when you don't have a project open and kind of like this is the single file mode. One of them is the design mode. Basically, you have a project opened and you're editing things. One of them is when you start debugging. Okay, you start debugging, you'll notice that, you know, some windows go away and some windows come in, and this is because we save your settings. And then the last one is full screen, right? So there is a full screen mode in Visual Studio, which is actually Alt Shift Enter. I have to look at the keyboard to remember the keyboard bindings. I don't know why. Alt-Shift-Enter. And when I hit Alt-Shift-Enter, it kind of takes me to that fifth mode, which you can customize. It's called full screen, but you can really make it anything you want. I mean, you can make it the smallest editor window if you want. Like, it's really your choice. And this kind of gives me an alternate view. So actually, sometimes I have a friend of mine, he does a lot of, you know, production debugging and historical debugging. He's a big user of IntelliTrace. And what he does is he uses that window for IntelliTrace. So when he's debugging and he's doing production debugging, he needs different windows showing. So his Alt-Shift-Enter and gets him his new windows, which is awesome. I mean, it's a creative way of using it. But the intended way of using it is obviously your window is now maximized, and you get the really most white space in the middle, or the most use of editor space. Which actually takes me to the next tip that I have for you. Let's see if I hit the right key this time. Which is tip number 4. Which is one I'm actually not going to demo, because it's not on a product that I have on my machine or one that you have in your hands right now, which is in the Visual Studio 14 Community Technology Preview, which we actually released. So if you actually want to go and download the latest Visual Studio version, Visual Studio, I think we're calling it 14 is the code name, you can download that. And one of the really cool features, I'm kind of like skipping ahead in time and putting it on my best loved features list, but I really, really love this feature. Is that you can actually save your window layouts and give them names. So you can create an infinite number of window layouts as you want. And you know, instead of just the four that Visual Studio knows about, you can create your multi-mon layout, your laptop layout, your I am doing IntelliTrace debugging layout, your I am browsing a lot of code layout, and assign them shortcut keys and just switch between them, which is the most awesome thing. You can like customize the windows that you want. You go to the Tools menu and you say custom screen layout, custom window layout, I think we call it now, custom window layout, give it a name, and you're done. Even better, because I'm signed into Visual Studio, this window layout is saved on all the machines that I connect to, which is awesome. Now I just save the window layout, I go home, and I can reuse that window layout without having to redefine it. It's just a super awesome feature. I wish I could show it to you today. Unfortunately, my VM working on this laptop refused to work this morning, so you're just going to have to take my word for it. Actually, it's a good reason for you to go and download the latest Visual Studio. You can try it out. It's just super awesome. I love it. All right, my fifth tip takes me to my second most loved, and I didn't tell you my first most loved part of Visual Studio yet, but my second most loved part of Visual Studio, which is the editor, right? I really spend a lot of time in the editor. Who spends most of their time in the editor? Half the people, okay. What do the rest of you do? All right. Yeah, debugging maybe. So in the editor, one of the really cool things I like that we introduced in the last couple of versions of Visual Studio is the upgraded scroll bar. So how many people have a scroll bar that looks, let me get out of the screen mode first, that looks like this? Well, I'm assuming most of you have this scroll bar. We have another scroll bar that is really awesome. And for some reason, it's not the default in Visual Studio. I don't know why. If it were up to me, I would just make it the default. If you go to scroll bar options, right-clicking on the scroll bar, hit scroll bar options, or obviously you could do a quick search and go there. And do scroll bar options, and there you can actually use map mode for the vertical scroll bar. And you get this scroll bar, which is just awesome. Who uses this scroll bar? Quite a few people, that's good, you know, it's like 15 or 20 people. So with this scroll bar, the coolest thing that I like about it is that, first of all, it actually allows me to go to the right spot in the scroll bar almost the first time. We hold these usability studies in Redmond, and what we do with the usability studies is that we get people, either with us in focus rooms, or you know, we stand behind a glass and we watch them work, and we give them some. We tell them that we're behind the glass; we're just not creepy, but we kind of stand behind the glass and we watch. And one of the things that you know, when we talk to people, people actually have a mental map, a picture of their code as if it's printed out. So if you actually print things out and put them like 8 pages on the wall and ask people to, you know, which page the function is on, they will point to the right one almost every time, right? It's just amazing. Our mind kind of works this way. So the beauty of this scroll bar is I kind of remember where this function is. It's kind of the big one, the long one in the middle of the file, and like, oh, here it is. And then I would just go to it. So it's really quick in terms of going to something really quickly. But also, it has preview. So even if you didn't, you can go over it, and you would know where to go, which is just awesome. But even better than that is that it actually allows me, if I'm searching, for example, let me get a file that has something. See here, there are two green dots here. There's a green dot right here, a green dot right here. And when you hover over it, you see that there's a squiggle. So it actually tells me where the errors in my code are. If I was searching for something, I think this is a... Oh, there you go. I'm searching for refresh. These are all the places that have refresh in them, highlighted in yellow. If I had a breakpoint, it will show in red. It's just really nice. You can really find out where your stuff is in code. It works for bookmarks, for a lot of other things. Yes, sir?
Is it possible to see the highlights if you click on something?
Oh, is it possible to see which code is highlighted in the scroll bar? Actually, I don't think that's possible. That's a very nice idea. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I don't think that's possible, but very nice. Not possible to see the highlighting. But it's possible to see the search highlighting. Like if you search for something and you do it, then you can see it in the scroll bar. All right, so that's it for scrolling. Lots of other things that are really cool about the editor. One of the things I like, of course, is the brace matching. So if you're here, It kind of highlights the closing brace for you. You could actually go to the closing brace with control, closing brace. And you can go to the opening brace with control, closing brace also. Not open brace. Control, open brace, S tracks item solution explorer. But control, close brace kind of cycles between these. But the coolest thing is actually, if I'm somewhere there and I do control, shift, close brace, it highlights the scope, which I often do to copy and paste. So control, shift, close brace, and then you get your scope for you and you can highlight, which is just awesome. The other thing is I'm typically somewhere here and I've been editing the middle of a line and now I'm done editing that middle of the line and I want to insert a new line after it and I have to hit end and hit enter, or I can hit control enter because that does exactly the same thing except it inserts it above it. So if you want it below it, you do control shift enter and that inserts it below it, which is very nice. If I want to delete the line, I'm halfway in the middle of the line, I don't have to go home, shift down, delete. I could just do control shift L and that deletes a line. I could do control L and that copies it to the clipboard and deletes it, right? So it basically does a cut. If I copy stuff, let's say I actually copied this one. And how many times, you know, you kind of toggling between two files and you want to move part of a function and then the declaration of a function. Like you just don't want one contiguous area, you want to copy two things and move them to another file. This is very easy actually. You don't have to switch between the files all the time. You can first copy this one, okay? And then I'm going to copy this one, for example. And then if I go to another file and I paste, with control V, it just pastes the last one, right? So what happened to the one before that I saved? If you did actually control shift V, then it would cycle through a clipboard ring. So you could do control shift V, control shift V, control shift V, and then you can do as many as you want of those. And I think I can't remember, we remember the last dozen or 20 or something like that. So just control shift V instead of control V for paste, and then you can copy as many things as you want and go and paste them where you want. Just one move between the files, which is also fantastic. All right, what else do I want to talk to you about? Obviously there is commenting and uncommenting really quickly. Control K, control C, control K, control U, and then you can just inserting comments. You can even do it in the middle. So if I wanted to just do this and change it to something else, I could do control K, control C. Oh, that didn't work here. Sorry. I'll not do that. In other places, I actually did the right commenting in the middle. For some reason, this doesn't work here. So you could do that too. Hey, my first demo of the day. Then the other thing I wanted to show you is with IntelliSense, which is if I'm in the middle here and I'm writing IntelliSense, right? Console.WriteLine, right? And it gives me that. One of the cool things, and it's kind of a little known feature, is that you don't have to write the whole thing. You don't have to write L. You could just write WL. And if you did console.WL, it will kind of do the Pascal casing and tell you which one. So for really long method names that you kind of have to type a lot of things to get them, just remember the Pascal casing for it and write it, and that's the quickest way of getting IntelliSense for it. Let me see if there's... oh, that's another really cool one. See how I'm here, and I get IntelliSense kind of hiding the rest of my window... my window editor kind of typically hiding the few lines after it. Sometimes I actually wanted to get a parameter from somewhere or get something from the rest of the editor window, which I would then do escape, remove IntelliSense, look at what's in it, and then rewrite what I just wrote. Or I just hit control, which then kind of temporarily hides it and shows it, which is really nice. And actually works on a lot of other things in Visual Studio. It kind of works with debugging and some of the windows that show up. When you're dragging windows and you see those guides telling you whether it goes on the left or the right, if you hit control, that thing kind of disappears. So control, whenever you're kind of moving stuff around and something blocks your way, try control. It might actually can just take it out of your way, which is pretty handy. All right, so the last thing I was going to show you is... smart tags, which a lot of people know about, but there's something cool about it that I want you to see. So let's say I do a string builder. It is not in my IntelliSense. Probably because I have not added a using for it. See this little thing under the S there? Little blue highlight under the S? If you hit Control Dot, it will bring up this little menu that then you can do a whole lot of functions, like basically say, add a using system.txt, which if you do, we're going to add for you. So now if you scroll to the top of the file, you're going to see system.txt right here, right? So it kind of adds it for you. But for me, see how the systems are not together and like how the using namespaces are not organized very well? I am pretty picky about that stuff, so I like to reorganize my my usings and put them in the right order. So I typically end up copying and pasting things sometimes and just moving them a few lines up. So that takes me to my next tip in Visual Studio, which is the most awesome, move line up, move and then down. Like basically select a bunch of code and you can move it up, move it down without having to copy it or paste it. So it's kind of a feature of Visual Studio I really love. I found very few people are using it. So let's say I'm back here and here's my system text. I could copy it and paste it to move it on the top, right? Or I could do Alt, up and down. See how it moves up? How it moves down? It's really, really nice. What is even nicer is that if I wanted to move a block of code or a function or something up and down, I could do exactly the same. So I could do this, and then I can do Alt up, Alt down. It's a very fast way of kind of moving blocks of code around, which is just great. What else did I want to show you with this? I had already showed you my favorite command, which is copy full path, right? So this basically copies full path of the current open document, and so you can use it somewhere else. You copy it in the clipboard. You could actually also directly open the containing folder. I got this by right-clicking on the file name up there, and that way it will just open a window with that folder open, which is also very helpful. The last thing I'm going to show you around editing is one of my favorite, you know, that have existed since probably Visual Studio 2002 features. Which is to-do comments in source. So if I view the task list, and you can see I already have a to-do window. If I wanted to add any other to-do, right, I kind of do this. Here you go, somewhere here in code, and whack, whack, to-do. Hello. This is a test. And what happens is it just basically adds it to do my to-do list of the project. So I could have all of these custom to-dos that I put into my project, and I have one place where I can go look them and view them. Of course, if you go somewhere, you can double-click on it, and you'd go and change it. You can even customize this list if you look at tasks here. And here's the list for you. These are the ones that come in pre-installed with Visual Studio. You can add whatever you want. You can change this priority or severity, how they get ordered. It's a convenient little thing if you kind of work on your own in projects. But I find that most people have other means of doing this. So it's not really one of my best features, but I like it anyway. That takes me, though, to my most favorite part of Visual Studio, which is what I actually spend the most of my time doing, other than debugging, which is navigate to. Or navigating code in general. So I find, like, how many of you are privileged enough to have worked in code that is only you have touched, nobody else has touched, you know everything about it? You guys are lucky. I don't get to do that. How many of you like kind of own code from people that you wish you can find who they are so that you can have a talk with them, okay? Happen to be in that camp, right? And for that case, you're just hunting around code all the time and kind of can't remember whether you called it, you know, earthquake translation service or translation service earthquake or EQ, whatever. Like, I don't know what they called it, right? I have no idea what the rhyme or reason was behind it. So I just want to find things around source code. So that takes me to my most favorite feature of Visual Studio of all time, my favorite. If you don't remember anything in this talk, just remember this one, which is Control, comma. And what Control Comma does is bring up this little window up on the right here. And I think in Visual Studio 2012, it was kind of a bigger window, that kind of more full screen window. And before that, we didn't have it. We had what the gentleman was talking about here, which is the little thing that you could type OF space on the file name. Control Comma is beautiful because it doesn't only work for files. It works for symbols. It works for files. It works for a lot of different things. And the way I think about it is I type Control Comma, I write anything that's in my project, and I hit Enter. And then it takes me there. And it's just magic. And I don't know how it works, but it just works great. So I'll try the earthquake something. Earth. Let's see, you get completion, event, Enter. And here I am. So I hope that answers your question. Was asking how do I do the open file. I showed you how to do it for this, but I can also do control, main page view. And there you go. You could actually even open CS files, right, or C++ files or JavaScript files. So I just control comma, any file name, any part of a file name, any part of a symbol. Not only that, just like with IntelliSense where I didn't have to write the whole thing, I can do earthquake, event, location, converter, EELC, enter, and that also works, right? So it's just a really fast way of just navigating around source code, which to me is priceless, yes?
But it's only in a CS file?
Okay, so is it only in a CS file? No, it actually works across a number of different files. It doesn't work across almost everything, so I think like it doesn't yet jump between like XAML and C#. It obviously works for the different languages that we have, so it works for C++ and JavaScript. And a bunch of other files that the language service can parse, that our parser can understand. But for some of them, it doesn't work across everything yet. But definitely, if you're moving around source code, that's the fastest way to move around source code. Control comma, if it's a file name that you're opening, it works for any file. So it doesn't have to be a CS file. If it's just a file in your project, it will open it. But to get the symbols, the understanding of the symbols, it has to be something that we understand, right? It has to be code type that we understand. So that's the coolest thing. So coolest thing is that you can actually get anywhere you want. But even cooler is actually to get back. And the way you get back is control minus. So control minus, can I think of it as, you know, as you're doing go to definition, or you're doing control navigate, control comma, and you go to like 7-8 layers deep, you're putting things on a stack, and control minus kind of pops that stack one by one, one by one, one by one. There's actually kind of a subtle difference. There's two commands. There's control minus and control shift 8, or control star if you think of it that way. Control minus takes you to the last edit position. So if you kind of navigated, started editing a little bit, did a page down, navigated again. Control minus is going to take you through all of these different things. Control shift 8 literally takes you to the last navigation that you did. So the last F12 that you did, or the last navigate to that you did, which is just very handy. So I do control minus all the time. Control shift minus moves you forward in that stack, put it that way. Another thing that I like is being able to, if I want to see, for example, who uses this, right? I can do Shift F12, and I get the list of all the things. I can move across this list if I go back to the editor window using F8 and Shift F8, right? And I can cross my whole solution. I can go forward, and I can go backwards for navigation. Another thing I like is actually going to Solution Explorer and doing that. So my tip for that is Control Left Shift S, right? And that takes you to where you want in Solution Explorer to do it. But even cooler than that is Solution Explorer now has search, which you can get, it says here, with Control Semicolon. If you search for something, and I'm going to search for, I don't know, event stuff, right? It's going to show me all the places in Solution Explorer where event matches, and it's kind of a substring match. But you'll see it basically gets it from all the solution. Sometimes I'm only focused on one part of it. Like in my solution here, I have source and tests, right? If I just want to scope my world to just the sources and take the tests away for a minute, I could do this. Right-click, scope to this. And what this does is it focuses Solution Explorer to only the subset of the solution that I want to care about now. And that makes it easy for me to navigate and move around things, but also makes it easy when I search, I can easily go back to what I was looking for, right? So here, if I search for event now, it doesn't get me anything from the text. from the tests. It only gets me things from the source. Oh, that's a really nice one. How do you get back from that view? There's a home button up there. So you kind of go and click this. But who knows how to get there with the keyboard? And this is a tip that's going to work across Solution Explorer or any other window that has its own little toolbar. Here's the easy way to remember it. You know how to get to the menu, the file menu? Alt, just hit Alt, and it fires up the menu, right? And now you get to the menu. The toolbar is Shift Alt. And that kind of takes you to the toolbar. Now I can move left and right, do what I want. So Shift Alt Right Enter takes me back to, I don't know how I remember these things, but it takes you back to a full Solution Explorer, which is really nice. Actually, notice that it is Shift Alt, not Alt Shift, because if it was Alt Shift, then if you use multilingual keyboards, it will switch the keyboard to the other language. So don't do that. It's Shift Alt. The nice thing about these, some of these features look very esoteric and like, you know, how can you remember all that stuff? If you know, you get ingrained in your brain and you start using it all the time, you're just saving so much time by being very fast in Visual Studio that it really, really helps. So I personally like these little things. All right. Last thing I want to show you is a really cool feature that we have here called CodeLens. And I'm actually going to go to a different file for that one. This one. You'll notice here there are these little adornments on top of the on top of classes. I think this has also been in the last couple of releases of Visual Studio only. And these basically are views into usages of these types, right? So there are lots of things that we show. One of the things we show, for example, is how many references it has. And now you can click on it. You can see the list of references that are there. You can double-click. You can browse to it, which is pretty nice. But also, you can see the tests that have run against this and how many of them are passing, right? You can switch between the two, of course, with Alt-Shift and Alt-Left and Alt-Right. You can even bring them up with the keyboard if you are standing on that symbol by doing Alt, and then it's going to show you, see 2 and 3 there. Alt 2 brings up this, and Alt 3 brings up the next one. It's a very nice and handy way of kind of showing you things about the usages of your class very quickly. If you're actually on a test method, let me go here back to where the tests are. If you're on any of the test methods, it will actually even show you whether that test is passed or not. And you click on it and takes it to the right place in Test Viewer to be able to do that, which is nice and kind of convenient and handy. I talked a lot about navigation. It is my favorite part of, it's my most favorite part of Visual Studio. So I dedicated two tips to navigation. One of them was the navigate to, and the second one is peak navigation. And peak navigation is one of my favorite features that we just added to the last release of Visual Studio, which is the ability to see definitions of variables without having to leave the IDE, right? So let's say, without having to leave the editor. Typically, you're in a file like this, and you're here like earthquake service proxy, and you want to see what that thing is, you hit F12, right? And what F12 does is this. Takes you to another editor window, or a different place in the editor window, or something. Kind of lost the context of where you were. You can always go back with control minus. But you could also do Alt F12. What Alt F12 does is kind of brings in another little editor window inside your editor window that has the full definition of what you want. And inside that little, what we call peak window, you can do other peaks. Alt F12 again. I kind of opened another thing. And you can, you know, do Alt F12 on more stuff that you want. And you can switch. You see the two dots here, the white and the blue dots. That means how many of those you did. Basically, you have a full stack of it that you could move back and forward between. And obviously, there are shortcut keys for those, which are, let me see if I can remember this right. I think it's Alt Shift. Oh, Alt control right then. Ah, did that again. Wrong. Ah. Can't remember that one. I could swear I used to, you know, the reason I don't remember it is I used to be, oh, there you go. Control Alt minus and Control Alt plus. Control Alt minus, there you go. And you navigate between them. Control Alt plus takes you to the right one. Control Alt minus, Control Alt plus. And that kind of moves you between the things. When you're done, you just hit escape and you're back in the editor. So you did all the navigation browsing. And the nicest thing about it, you'll notice that it didn't even hide the line after. It says the if start timer, Alt F12. I still see that line. I just literally inserted an editor window in the middle of the two windows. So I didn't lose any of my context. And on a really large screen, I get a lot of context that way, which is just very great. All right. I'll take you to some of my last tips here, and that's about debugging. So I'm actually not going to spend a lot of time about debugging today because I have another session on Thursday that is just dedicated to debugging, because that's really what most of us spend all their time doing. So I have another hour and 15 minutes just talking about tips and tricks doing debugging. But I'm just going to give you my coolest, my most preferred tips for debugging today, and kind of just a sneak peek of what you can get. There's a lot more that you can get on Thursday. One of the least known features of the debugger is the modes of breakpoints, right? So I'm going to have to close the solution because I kind of messed with it a lot, and it probably won't debug if I try to build it at this point. And I'll open it again, okay? Yes, I don't have source control. Okay, and if I view the breakpoints window now, you'll see I have one breakpoint, which if I run, I should be able to hit, right? Notice that basically the way the breakpoints work is that you hit F9, you go to that breakpoint, and you know you hit F5 or F10 or whatever else that you want to do after that to step or continue or evaluate some variables. One of the really nice things is if you're going through a loop, for example, and you want to... You don't really care about stepping through it. You just want to see a list of results, and you want to see a certain variable and what it was during each iteration. Or there's a function, like you would say we enter this function, and every time you do, we're getting some things from a stream and parsing them, and you just want to know what the first four things that you parsed were, right? So instead of hitting a breakpoint, seeing the value, F5, hitting the breakpoint, seeing the value, F5, and you do that like 20 times, you can do what is called trace points. Which, if you come here and say you place a breakpoint, and then you go, notice the circle obviously that says there's a breakpoint. You can click on that circle, right click, and lots of options. So we're going to investigate some of these options and some of the odd things about them when we talk next time. But I'm going to show you today a way to say when hit, what you do. And when hit, one of the things you can do is print a message. Okay, in my case, I'm just going to say hi, and then you can type a variable. Okay, so let's say I want to type the contents of parser. Okay, and I hit enter, and then you will notice this little checkbox here that's on by default that says continue execution. So that basically is going to hit the breakpoint, write whatever you told it to write, continue execution without actually interrupting the flow of the program. It feels to you like you're still running the program, and we're just breaking in the background, writing stuff to a log window, and then running again, which is a fantastic way of debugging, because then now you can go to that log window and see how it all kind of works. I stepped through it 20 times, these are the different values, and then you know, okay, the 15th time was the problem. Now you can set a breakpoint and do another trick to it that I can show you that only stops at the 15th one, and then go from there. Thursday, I'll tell you how. So that's it for trace points. And for debugging for today. Takes me to my last thing I want to tell you before we're done here, and I want to leave just a couple minutes at least at the end to ask questions, which is productivity power tools. So everything that I showed you is kind of what comes by default with Visual Studio. One of the coolest things about Visual Studio is that we have add-ins, so that kind of customize your experience, and you know, if you use a specific thing a lot, somebody has probably created an add-in for it and makes your life easier. We have a couple of add-ins that we created at Microsoft, mainly to experiment with some features and kind of know what works and what doesn't, and it kind of allows us to introduce them and say, like, it didn't work, take it out. Or like, oh, that really works horribly, let's kind of do it better. And one of the add-ins that we use for that is called the Productivity Power Tools, which is a set of like 20, 25 new editor features or solution explorer features that kind of make your life easier, that if you install this add-in, you should be able to get them. Some of my favorites, I'll show you now. So if I go here and I, let's just close the solution for now, stop the debugging. And if I go to tools, I only remember the shortcut for it, Alt T U. If I go to the extensions and updates, tools extensions and updates, and I search for power tools, right? I have it installed here. You could obviously go to online and search for it and install it. I'll enable it for now. I'll have to run Visual Studio for that again. And when I enable it, a whole slew of things kind of starts to light up. Some of my favorites, I'll tell you now. So one of my favorites is, if you look at kind of the project that we had here, and I told you how I like my editor window maximized and taking the whole view. I like that in empty lines, you will not see this here, but the way that you will see it is that you're going to see in your editor more lines showing up. Any empty lines, we make them take a bit less space, like 25% less space than they normally would. So that kind of shrinks the amount, you know, the empty space in your code, and that kind of gets you a couple more lines viewable in a large screen, which is value to me. Another thing that I like is this thing on scroll bar. Scroll bar gets even better, which is a way you kind of draw the scopes for you. You'll see here that this file, it's a particularly short file, but you know, it's basically comprised of one function, and you kind of see the scope for that function there. So you kind of see scope visualization on it. Another thing I like, which is really awesome, is that you'll see now the tabs, they're grouped by projects. So different colors for different projects, also an easy way for navigation. But also, if I introduce errors, so let's say I go to my favorite file here, and I kind of go and rename this one, right? It now, in Solution Explorer, you're going to see where the errors are. And if it was introduced in a lot of different places, the error, you can see all the files with that error. You can go inside Solution Explorer here, and even filter by only the ones that have errors. So if you're doing a complex refactoring or something, you just filter all the files that have errors in them, and then you can cycle between those files and open them and change only the files that need it until you have none left. And then my last favorite feature of that add-on is the control double click takes it out of the out of Visual Studio into another window, and then just a regular double click maximizes it completely, and double click again takes it back, right? So these were my tips for the Pro Power Tools, Productivity Power Tools. A couple of other things that I like are the Automatic History Power Tools called Auto History, and the Snippetizer Power Tool, which allows you to create code snippets of your own and kind of make it easy to do that and share them. Then I have an 11th tip for you. It's not really a tip. It's just that we now have in Visual Studio a way to share feedback. So you can actually go inside Visual Studio, and that little thing there that has like a comment box on it right next to the quick launch, you can send a smile, you can send a frown, you can go to the forums. And we actually take these things really seriously. Every send a smile kind of comes back to us. I actually do read them, all of them. And we have a tool that kind of groups stuff and gives you a nice word map about what things are smiling about, what things are people are frowning about, especially for like previews or things like that. So please feel free to use that feature. It really helps us greatly make Visual Studio better. It also lets us know what parts of Visual Studio you use most, and that helps me make the rest of that better. So please do that. Suggestions, as always, on user voice, here's a link, and bugs on Connect, and that's how you can communicate with us. We take a lot of effort in looking into user voice and what things people are suggesting for next releases, and kind of think of them when we're adding new features in the next release. And that's it for today. I mean, it's hard to summarize everything that we went through here, but I just tell you that I hope you love Visual Studio as much as I do. It's just an awesome product, very nice to use, and if you learn how to be very productive using it, you could really save yourself quite a bit of time every day and kind of use that to enjoy life. So it's a good thing. Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming here, and have a good rest of your time. I'm here if you want any questions. I'll be here on the podium, so feel free to come up. Thanks.